Church, say amen. Amen. We're thankful for the song service. Certainly, he's our God, and we appreciate the brothers who worked with us so far in the service. And we're thankful to have each of you here today, especially if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You're very honored guest and the VIP of our audience, and we are thankful to have you in the audience. Turn your Bible to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We're going to be going there this morning, and we're thankful that God gave us another day, gave his son. His son gave his life, shed his blood to wash our sins away. If one would believe that and be baptized, they can be saved even today. Amen. 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 Let's look at John. John has been a great study so far. Amen. In chapter 11, it won't let us down. It's a great study of the Bible. In John chapter 11, this morning's sermon is entitled, Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Many of you members have read this over and over trying to find that title. And you got it. I'm thankful. I think Charlie got it this time, but we're thankful to see all of you. My challenge to you is to encourage you to read before you hear the message, and you'll be surprised how much more you'll get out of it if you just read the text before I preach from it. Mm-hmm. So you'll know where I'm going to be next week. That way you don't know I'm preaching at you. So if you want to, don't know where I'm going to preach next week, just mark where I stop, and I'll pick up right there. And whatever's in there, I'm going to give it to you. If it's shoe fit, put it on. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm just preaching the text, and if it's in there, we're going to deal with it. Amen?
Amen.
And this text is a very popular text about a man named Lazarus. Maybe y'all read this before. You heard of Lazarus, who God, Jesus raised him from the dead. In verse number 1, the Bible says what? Now a certain man
was sick.
Was sick.
Named Lazarus.
And his name was Lazarus.
Of Bethany.
He was from Bethany.
The town of Mary and her sister Martha.
That's the same town Mary and Martha, his sisters, live. Now, when you look at this story of Lazarus in chapter 11, it's broke down in like four different ways. It's divided in four sections. And we're going to look at the preparation of the miracle, which is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It is a miracle that he raised him from the dead. Now, those folk who say they're raising folk dead and they have all this Pentecostal power, that's not true. Them dead folks still in the graveyard. They don't have the same power they had back then. And secondly, from verse 17 to 37, is going to be the Jesus arrival in Bethany. And then the miracle itself takes place in 38 through 44. And then the results of the miracle, the effect of the miracle, happens in 45 through 57. So this is a long chapter, and we'll get to verse 27 today. So that's where I get my title, verse 26. Let's go down there. The title comes from verse 26, where Jesus is actually dealing with death. So this sermon deals with death. And he said, now, whosoever liveth
and believeth in me
shall
never die.
So he said, now, whoever liveth, continuing action, and believeth, continuing action, in me shall never
die.
So the repeat is death. When I say look at what repeats itself, I'm talking about what repeats itself in this text is the discussion of death. Now, people don't like to talk about death, but let's look at what death's purpose is. So here's a man who's sick, and he's going to get resurrected. His Mary and his sister Martha lived in Bethany, and it tells in verse 2 which Mary it was, because several Marys in the Bible. It said it was Mary that was
which anointed the Lord with ointment.
This is the Mary that actually anointed the Lord's feet with an ointment. This is the one Judas going to get upset at because she wasted some precious ointment. That's chapter 12. And wiped his feet with her hair.
Whose brother Lazarus was sick.
So John is letting know this is that Mary there. Okay, so in John 12, we'll read about the story of Mary washing his feet. But that's verse number 3. He said, therefore,
his sister sent unto him.
So his sisters sends unto Jesus. And they said to him, I don't know how he got them. They don't tell us how they got the message to him. But they sent a message to him. And it said, Lord,
behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.
So they didn't call his name. They said, he whom thou lovest is sick. So his sister sent for Jesus at a time when their loved one was sick, which is the application that we should understand, that we all must understand something about life. We best prepare for the sickness and the death of those we love. We can't get around this. It's going to happen. All of us need wheels. Yeah. We need wheels. Powers of attorneys done. More families get in discussion when they lose their loved one because the loved one didn't tell them what to do. Church, get you a will so your kids don't have to fight over your stuff. A trust is even better. If you get a will, the probates can interject. But a trust, they can't touch it. You got to pay more for a trust. You pay for what you get. But a will at least give you something to reference and keep these kids and those folk. You'll be surprised how crazy folk get when somebody dies. Some of the families, I would never expect people to act like that, but I'm just dropping this on us. Amen. Amen. If you want to know how to do a will free, see me. I'll tell you how to get one done free. Yeah. And then you need to leave some directives for if you get where you can't talk. You need a living will and a directive so that you can tell my wife. I tell my wife, if they got me on life support and they're telling you, you got to make a decision. Death is not our decision. It's appointed unto man once to die, and the world would put that decision to make you feel bad about it. But God is the only one. But doctors don't have that power. When family say, oh, I don't know what to do here. I got to make a decision. No, that decision is not yours. Here's the other thing. When people are sick, I don't want folk just standing over me looking at me when I'm sick. Then that's me. And you do what you want to do. You got tubes all in your nose and stuff, and you're laying up there looking crazy. Your hair ain't combed and all that. You're sick as a dog, and folk want to stand up there. And here's what amazes me. They say, boy, he sure looked bad. Now, what you expect? Yeah, folks stand up there talking about, oh, he looked bad. He really looked bad. Looked like he ain't going to make it. That's why you went. So my instructions to my family is I don't want none of that. You tell them, church, to pray for me. And when I get better and we come sing together and God done brought me through, then you come see me. But when I'm sick, you stay at home and you pray. I want my wife and my family and the doctors there. That's it. Somebody said, Brother Brooks, that's wrong. Now, I said, that's me. You do what you want to do. That, if you want everybody to stand over you looking sick, you let them happen. Because I know prayer can work from distances. Amen. I want folk all over the world praying for me. Tell the saints to pray for me. I don't have no problem asking the church for prayer. But I just thought I'd stop right there to talk about some things like this. Some things you see stuff like that happening. So let's accept the fact that all of us will have to deal with sicknesses and death. However, as Christians, we are to do like these sisters and call on the Lord. When people are sick, what's important is that Martha and Mary and Lazarus had a relationship with God. They had a relationship with Jesus. See, many people believe that Jesus is going to respond to their prayer and they have no relationship. No. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. Get this down and don't forget it. You cannot get a prayer through when you're living in sin. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. When your loved one gets, this is why members of church need to stay faithful. Because when it's your wife, your husband, your mama, your daddy, and you got sin separating you from God, you cannot pray. You can pray, but God said, I will not hear. You don't need to be missing church and worship. We need to stay in fellowship and in a relationship with God so that we can keep our prayer line open. Now, some people believe, you believe what you want to believe. I believe all the Bible is right. Jesus said it. It was said in John 9, 31, this we know God hear not sinners. You can't live in sin and pray. Without it, I just don't believe that. Well, then you don't need the Bible. Put it up. Just put it up. You won't need that. You won't need it. The Bible has no relevance. If God said it, he meant it, and that settles it.
Amen.
We just got to what? Believe it. Now, so here's the thing. Relationship with God starts at baptism. You got to have your sins washed away. and receive the Spirit, because you can't even pray as you ought without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit makes intercessions and groaning, Romans chapter 8, for us, that we can't pray. God just gonna, we have to have the Holy Spirit in order to get the prayer through to God. That's why you got to remain faithful. You got to obey the gospel. Now,
when Jesus got the message,
the sick, he said this. Jesus said, this sickness that Lazarus have is not unto death.
But for the glory of God.
It has a purpose. Now, miracles had a purpose in the Bible. And miracles for the glory of God and that the Son of Man might be glorified. That was
thereby.
The purpose of raising the dead and healing sick people back then. They didn't have no Bible. They didn't have no Bible. And all that stuff people are doing today, such as calling themselves speaking in tongues and raising the dead and snake bite, they die when the snake bite them. They ain't no grave. Ain't nobody getting nobody up from the grave. Amen. And they faking tongue speaking. Tongue speaking is nothing but gibberish, jabberish, jargon that nobody can understand.
Use common
sense when it comes to your soul. Folk will sell you anything. But I'm saying that this purpose of this miracle was to bring glory to God and his Son, Jesus Christ. This sickness not death. This means death shall not win in the case of Lazarus. Mm-hmm. And God's going to be glorified when he resurrects him from the dead. So it was the purpose of this miracle. And he said, this is not unto death. Death, y'all, cannot win, do not have victory on those of us who are in the Lord. Listen carefully. Death is a victory for Christians. In Revelation 14, go there, and 12, watch this. It's a victory. Death does not win. And y'all, we need to understand this. That don't mean we won't cry. But listen what the Bible says. Here is the patience of the saints. Verse 12.
Here are they that keep the commandments of God.
Now notice, here's who it applies to. Those who keep the commandments of God.
And the faith of Jesus.
And they believe like Jesus. The faith of Jesus in the New Testament. He taught his faith in the New, that's why it's called the doctrine of Christ. Or the new law. Or the new covenant is the doctrine of Christ or the faith of Christ. Now notice what he said. John said, I heard a voice
from heaven
saying
unto me, write.
Write.
Blessed are they.
Now he said, here's what you do, John. Write this down.
Blessed are the
stop
dead
right there. That blessed,
which die in the Lord.
Oh, blessed, that blessed word blessed in the Greek means happy. It means supremely blessed. It means fortunate. It means well off. That's what it means. So this is not just blessed, but this is blessed. He said that the person who are blessed are the dead.
Which died in the Lord from henceforth.
Who was blessed? The person who died. Who was well off? Who was fortunate? The person that died. They died where?
In the Lord.
That's key. Because to die in the Lord is to die in his body. And his body is the church. So those saints who die in the church, die in the body, are blessed, fortunate, well off. Because they died where? In
the Lord.
Now let's go. Psalms 116 and verse 15. Listen to this. Psalm 116, 15. This is a good sermon. For all of us to ring the bell to all of us that this is going to happen to our families. We don't know who's next among our lights. But we have to have perspective on death when it occurs. Listen to what the book says.
Precious in the sight of the Lord.
Now, precious is special. In the sight of who?
The Lord.
The Lord is what?
The death of his saints.
So God see that moment as precious. It's a special moment for God when one of his saints died. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. Paul writes it like this.
O death.
Death.
Where is thy sting?
Death don't sting.
O grave.
He said, death, where's your sting? Where's the pain from it? O grave.
Where is thy victory?
How are you going to have a victory, grave? Now Paul come back and say, here's what the problem is. The sting of death
is sin.
Now, if you die in your sins, death stings. The grave wins. Because Jesus said in John 8:21, I go my way, you're going to seek me and die in your sins. Where I am, you can't come. So if a person die in their sin, death stings. Notice what he says. And
the strength of sin is the law.
But the way we overcome sin is by obeying the law of God, which is the Bible. But thanks be to God,
which given us the victory.
The victory over death was given us through Jesus Christ,
our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, my brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. This is why we are to stay faithful to the Lord. You should not miss a communion. You go to work 5 days a week, every week. You got to understand, death is going to sting when you die in your sin, my friends. I'm scared of dying in my sin. And I don't want to miss a worship service because I know that it's so easy to sin. But because we are Christians, we have a way to God. Brother and sister, we are to be faithful to the Lord. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. One thing you don't have to worry about. We will never debate about this. We will never debate about if you're going to die or not. You know you're going to die. You don't need no book to tell you. But what you don't know about is what happens after you die. And this book tells us what happens after dying. And what he's saying here is precious to God. It's a blessing to die in the Lord. But it is a problem when you die in your sins. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Death is nothing to fear if you're in the Lord. You know, that's another thing. What amazes me is that people in the Lord will put their soul at risk over a little of nothing. I mean, just a little something didn't go wrong in the church. There you go. Got your soul in sin. It is not worth it. I'm trying to get us to see something. Some of the stuff we do is not that we can't do it or it's a huge temptation. We just don't put the value on the saving of our souls. None of us are that without sin. None of us can get there without the blood of Christ. Why would we ever miss it? Why would we put our souls at stake by just letting a little something get us upset to the point I'm in sin? Why? I've lost sight. What I'm trying to get us to see, the emphasis this morning is on dying. Now notice here. If it's precious and if we're blessed, then we won't be frantic on our deathbed. We won't be fearing dying. Because you're all right with the Lord. But don't get that way if you're not all right with the Lord. Because you're going to be terrified. I remember one time, and this is one of the things that the day I said I would never want to be an elder, because pastoral duties are to go to, you know, going and visiting the sick and things like that. I hate to see people laying up there dying. That's just something I struggle with. And I know. That's in the world they call preachers pastors, but actually that's elders. I'm an evangelist. But I came down to see it like this. I'm going to visit the sick. I'm going to do that. I'll do that. I've been doing that. But I don't like to see it. Here's why. I had this one time I walked in. I was just becoming a new minister in the congregation in Arkansas. And I walked in, and they told me man was real sick and dying. You know, I said, oh, Lord. And I had never seen nobody dying like that. And I went, and I walked in the room, and all the family was around him. And this man looked terrified, y'all. He was like, it was like that. I was like, oh, my God. I left. I can't do this. I walked out. I asked him, come outside, I pray. I couldn't pray with him. He was frantic. He feared death. He would die, and he knew it. I don't want to be like that on my deathbed. I mean, he's gasping and just looking. When you're at peace with God, you can get peace from God. And the peace from God is a peace that's past understanding. People who are at peace, I use Sister Neely, Sarah Hill's mother. She called me. Sarah Hill, she'll vouch this. Y'all don't think I'm telling the truth. That's Cecilia. I was coming to visit her. I hadn't got there. And I finally made it. And she said, I've been waiting on you. Didn't she say that, Cecilia? And we're 15 minutes. And she was at peace, man. Let me tell you something. She was just laying there peacefully. She wasn't frantic or anything. She always told me, Brother Bruce, you got beautiful feet. Every Sunday. That meant so much to me because she knew the message I carried. She didn't look at the man. She looked at the message. That might as well make my feet beautiful. Not these Belvedere. Even though they look good. But she said this. She said, Brother Brooks, I've been waiting for you. And with 15 minutes, Sister Hill called me. She's gone. I said, man, almost like she waited on me to get there. Gone in the glory. Yes, sir. I believe people who are saved are all right, don't you? Yeah, that comforts us. You know, our loved ones are all right now. Amen. Isn't that good? But see, that's why I'm saying to us, even though you may be living a life that you know not pleasing to God, you need to come here so that you can have some way of being at peace. But when death comes or when sicknesses come, they are coming. You want to be all right. That's why these people in the world preach this deathbed repentance. That's not true. You are to believe and be baptized. You are to obey God when you're up well and go. You live your whole life against God in your deathbed, then you want to have a simple thing, Lord, forgive me. They'll preach that to you as long as you're putting money in their plate. And the Bible don't say that. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, being made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. This should be a brick for all of us. It's an attention getter. It's reality. Jesus loved Mary and his sister and Lazarus. He loves us too, but we got to obey him. When he heard, therefore, that she was sick, he waited 2 days.
Still in the same place where he was.
God would answer us when he want to. That's what that says to me. We can call on him today, but he's going to answer us in his time. And we should be doing, once we pray about people being sick, is to just trust the Lord that his will is going to be done. Do we not know that the will of God is going to be that loved one dies? And for Christian, we accept the will of God. Your will be done. That should be in our prayer, that his will be done. Mm-hmm. And if it's God's will that our loved one die, it's going to happen. If it's not his will, they ain't going nowhere until he say something.
Amen.
But understand, all of us understand that God is the helicopter over the parade of your life. He knew when you were born. He knows what you're going through right now. And he already knows the day of death. Now, what he can do is slow it. He can make it extend it, or he can make it come earlier. That's why he said, don't be overly wicked and die before your time. That's why some young folk die, because they're overly wicked. And God said, okay, let me just go and take you out. And to our young adults, you all are in danger because most of you are committing nothing but spiritual suicide. The most unfaithful group at this church are young adults. Because they believe they're going to live to be 80 and 90. And right now, I don't even have to put no emphasis. Let me say to the young adult, you don't know the difference from the old folk. Age is not how he determined. Death comes to every one of us. It's the hardest group for us to get to come faithful to the Lord. Well, I understand, I've been there and done that. Verse 7, he says, after that said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. The disciples say unto him, Master,
Jews of late sought to stone
thee. So he said, man, don't forget now, hold on. They tried to kill you when last time we were down in Judea.
And goes thou thither again?
Listen what Jesus answered. Are not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, stumble not.
Because he said the light of this world.
Yeah.
But if a man walk in the night, he stumbled, because there is no light in him.
Now, they was on a 12-hour clock. Of 6 to 6 was their day for them. For us, it's a 24-hour period. And so now, he asked them, he used a daytime scenario, or nighttime, and light and day. And all he's saying, y'all, to simplify it, is God is light. In him is no darkness at all. First John chapter 1, verse 5. We're not going to go there. But God is light. Darkness represents God. Satan, light represents God. Now, as long as you're in the light, you okay. All he's saying, as long as you do what God says, you are in the light of the world. But don't die in darkness. Because that means you're going to die in your sins. We have to be in the light and walk in the light and have fellowship. This communion is your fellowship. This is how you keep relationship whole. This you do in remembrance of me. It keeps us in fellowship with him. That's why they call it communion. Now, some of you folk are in churches where they do it once a month. You need to be careful. I'm not being mean, but you don't want to die not in communion. Just like you don't want to die outside the one church. Now, you don't have to be upset at me because I told you, just read your Bible. Don't just take what me and tell you. That's all Brother Brooks is saying. I try to say it in love. If God said it, it's true. Amen. He's not going to change it for you. That's what disturbed me. When you tell good people, you're talking about some good people. You're a good person. Good people don't go to heaven. Obedient people do.
Amen.
You're not communing every week. You are in trouble on your deathbed. You said, Brother Brooks, I didn't know that, but you do now. And the one thing I try to take from my visitors is the excuses. You need to know everybody not going. Only a few going to make it. And dying is inevitable. You can't get around it. Amen, somebody. Give me another verse, too. I might not get all this this morning. Let's get
verse 11.
Yeah.
These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep.
Now, he says sleep means death in the Bible. Yeah, read.
Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, how shall do well? He shall do well.
He'll be all right if he just sleep.
Howbeit Jesus spake of his death.
So they didn't know what he meant. Read.
But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep.
Yeah, yeah. He said, well, if he sleep, he cool. We ain't got to go down there. He just taking a little rest. And so Jesus make it plain.
Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead.
Now, if it's plain to them now that he dead, now, is it plain to you that you're going to die? He said, I am glad for your sakes
that I was not there.
Jesus, now, I know this is going to benefit you. I'm glad for your for the intent. That
you may believe.
That intent, he wanted his disciples to be believers, and miracles helped them to believe. That's what he was going to perform, miracles. That would be a miracle that was going to increase their faith. Now, our faith come by hearing and reading the miracle. Faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. We're not going to see nobody go to no graveyard and raise nobody from the dead. Y'all, please don't believe that stuff out there with Benny the Hen and them. Those are lies. I mean, how you got to put somebody back there to catch him if God is in control? You think you're going to fall and hurt yourself? Yeah, don't you think God can save you? You don't need no help from a man catching him. It's just as fake as it can be. And you'll never see Benny the Hen out there in no graveyard. Benny, people dead, he didn't wake them up. They're like Joel Osteen and them. Why didn't he get their dad in them up? If his mama is such a healer, why didn't she heal her husband before he died? Somebody ought to use common sense before we believe some of this foolishness. And I know I'm on Facebook Live. Am I still on Facebook Live? Yeah. But it's all the folk are listening. I hope they're listening to this. Because, you know, there's enough of them out there just saying things to make people feel okay. I'm not going to ever be in that number. I'm going to be on an island when it comes to this kind of stuff because it matters to me about my soul. So when we read about death, there's power in death. You can go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Death is a time to build faith. Solomon says like this, chapter 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ornament.
And the day of death than the day of one's birth.
It is better
to go to the house of mourning
than to go to the house
of feasting.
Now, house of mourning, you'll never read in the Bible what says funerals. It's called the house of mourning. And that is the end of all. I mean, everybody going to a funeral know that that's the end of that person's life. They're not coming back. You can't any undo button like in word processing. You type the wrong word in. You typers out there know. That's what I love about it, word. I can go back and undo that thing. But you can't undo that. Mm-hmm. It's coming. He said, the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the counsel of the heart, God has said, I'd rather have you crying than laughing. The heart of the wise is in the house of the mourning. Now, let me give you this here. And you always hear me say this at a funeral because people don't know this. Most people don't know this. They go to them hallelujah sermons, turning over, flipping over the benches and everything. Oh, she's in heaven now. I can see her now, walking with Jesus. And folk out there, amen. How you going to amen a lie like that? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You done been to. When I grew up, every funeral I went to was a home-going celebration. Oh, he died at a young age. He accepted Jesus at a young age. Died drunk. Died in a car wreck from drinking. I'm telling you something that I guess and have. I'm telling you, when I grew up in the Baptist faith, every funeral was a celebration. You don't celebrate folk dying in their sin. That's not a celebration. That's sorrow. That's why Brother Brooks would never preach home-going celebration. My secretary, no. Certain things you don't put in an obituary that I'm going to be on. You don't put me down for doing the eulogy. And you don't put me down for preaching a home-going celebration. You know what? There's some folk in this building, I believe, a Christian living faithful. But you don't know if they really are. You can't really say where somebody went. You got to say they obey the truth and you leave the rest to God. Amen. See, ain't no sense in me getting up there telling no lie like I know I can see her up there, save a seat for me, and then we sing, Mama, save a seat for me. Mama ain't trying to save no seat for you if she didn't make it. She down there like the rich man saying, go back and tell my family. Give me another verse.
But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth.
That's good. Now, so what's that? So what is the purpose of death? It's to bring the living to the consciousness through mourning and sorrow that you're going to do this. It's a prime time for us to get our families to listen to us. And when they listen to us, they know they're going to die. I have preached funeral and baptized 8-11 people at a time after funerals. I also have been criticized saying that's not the time. But I'm saying, God is saying to me, that's the time to tell them they need to be saved. That's the time living will think about it. I know I'm a living testimony that because of the death of a loved one of mine, that 33 years later, I obeyed the gospel 33 years ago as a result of that death, but my whole family are members of the Lord's church and for the most part faithful. I'm talking about brothers, sisters, mamas, and daddies, and nieces and nephews. And when our nieces and nephews are not faithful, we call them lost sheep. And that's why I'll be honest, where the lost sheep's at? But it was the death of a loved one that brought, and you're going to lose loved ones, and that is the time that the loved ones who are gone, God is using their death to say to you that you need to get right with me because I'm going to call your number two. Y'all can say amen because the death ain't nothing fun to talk about. I already know that, but I'm just trying to get us to see. I'm trying to get us to see. Sometimes God will throw a brick and knock you right down. You get that late night call. You didn't know your sister finna die. You didn't know your mama was going to die, and they call you and say, mama's gone, like my brother did when he called me about my mama, and I'm driving down the street. I had to pull over because he hit me with a brick. I wasn't ready to hear mama was dead. But when I pulled over, I was okay with the Lord because the first time he hit me with my brother, I fell apart because I didn't have the Lord in my life. Then he started hitting me with my daddy. I did all right with that. He hit me with my mom. Nobody want to lose mama and daddy, but what gave me comfort was the fact that my mama was in the Lord, my daddy was in the Lord, and gave me comfort. They obeyed the truth, and I was okay with God, and I knew God's purpose. I knew his will was that my family was going to go. It didn't hit me with no brick. It didn't knock me out. It did stun me because mama was gone. Who wants to lose mama? Nobody. I say mama because mama's precious to me. My mother. That was my bosom. Amen, somebody. You don't have to like your mama like I love my mama. I loved her. My daddy was my chief. Man, when I took my daddy's hand, he was 92. He still was gripping the heart. I'll be saying, I'm trying to hold on with him. That was chief then. Chief went first. Chief went. Mama was held on to him. Mama would get down and wash his feet. Put his socks on, lotion when he couldn't get to her. She was still a good wife. Right up to the day he died. Amen, somebody. He was a good husband right up to the day he died. Well, all I'm trying to say is that death has a purpose for bringing, it brought us all back home, and all of us came together as a family, and we started to talk about our lives. And some of you in here is going to get hit with a brick. And that's the only thing going to stop you in your tracks. You're going to get that call, and you ain't going to be ready for it. But I'm going to say this to all of us. You ain't got to leave like that. Here's what he do. Get 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Here's what death can do. The next thing I want y'all to know that death can do for us, it has power.
Blessed be God.
He said, blessed be God.
Even the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. The Father of mercy.
The Father of mercy.
And the God of all comfort.
The God of all comfort. Notice this.
Who comforted us in all our tribulation.
And our tribulation.
That we may be able to comfort others
in their trouble. Read.
By thy comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted
now,
of God.
Now, when we get comforted, I use Sister Mathis. Recently lost her sister. She was struggling. I hope she don't mind me doing it. You okay, Sister Mathis? Okay, good. Yeah, I'm starting to start. I might well go off in her. Okay. But she was struggling. She lost her sister. But I could go and comfort her because I knew what that felt. I know what it is to lose a loved one. See, God has sent me through it. He let us get that experience because we're gonna need it to help somebody else. That's the good thing. He used death to strengthen and to teach comforting. God comforted me, and I'm going to comfort you. And she texted me back and said, bro, I'm a lot better now. What was it? I could share with her the purpose of death. And anytime a loved one, somebody dies, and it brings our family back to the Lord, if it called my children to obey the Lord, the Bible said all things work together for good. That means the death of my brother was for our good.
And the death of your loved one is for your good only if it brings you to the Lord. And when it brings a family back to the Lord, that family is blessed through that death. God uses that death to get them back to him. That good? And you know what, everybody said, blessed are the dead. What verse we on? I got 2 minutes. Let me get to that point. Come on.
Verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him.
Now, they think you'll kill him. That's all Thomas said, man. We might as well go fight and die with him. He's going down there. Seems like he's saying, like Thomas said, man, if he's crazy enough to go, we might as well go and try down there. He said they tried to kill him last time he was down there. I can just wonder why Thomas is thinking like this, man. He tried to kill him. We got to go down there and die with him, I guess. So they was committed. And then when Jesus came, he found that he
had lain in the grave.
Now, you sure enough dead when you've been there. You know a man got to be dead if he's been in the grave 4 days. Is that right? Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 2 miles.
15 furlongs off.
2 miles.
And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother.
What do you mean? Our responsibility is to comfort others when they're going through things. Verse 20.
Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house.
Now, the common posture for the Jews was sit, just like when Job was sitting when he was grieving. So that was a common posture. So there's one sister who runs to the Savior, and the other one stays in the house. Some say the faith was different. I don't know. And the Bible don't say. I just know one stayed and one went. You leave it like that. Then said Martha unto Jesus,
Lord.
Now, Martha started talking to the Lord. Lord, if you'd have been here.
If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.
She had faith that he wouldn't have died if Jesus would have been close to him. But she didn't have no distance faith. See, he didn't have to be there for him not to die. See, we got to have distance faith. You don't have to be in the room praying with the person. You can pray from anywhere. Amen. That's why I love group me. That's why everybody here needs to be in the group. If you don't need to be in there, you say, well, I just don't like all that chatting. But when you need prayer, you got a whole lot of people praying for you at one time. Amen. Amen. And so I'm saying it's a good thing to get people praying for you. From distant prayers work. But I know even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to
thee.
Jesus said unto her,
thy brother shall rise again.
Martha
said unto him, I know that he shall rise again.
Now she thinks he's talking about the resurrection of life. It's going to be a resurrection of life. Matthew 5:28. And he said, there's going to be a resurrection of life and a resurrection of damnation. Here's your question need to be this morning. Which resurrection will you experience? There's a resurrection of life and a resurrection of damnation. What does that mean? Some going to be saved and some going to be lost at their resurrection. They will know. At death, they know. But at resurrection, they'll be judged. What's going to happen with you becomes the question this morning. If you die right now in the state that you are in, what will be your resurrection? I'm closing. Verse 25 and 26.
Jesus said,
I am the resurrection.
I am the resurrection and the life.
Uh-huh.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Mm-hmm.
And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
There it is. That's my sermon, Tyler. What's the next verse say?
She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world.
She made the confession that everybody needs to make before they die. Every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But Jesus was saying, look here, there are deaths. There's one called the second death. John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open. And the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the book. There is a second death. The second death is spiritual separation from God, eternal. That's why he said they shall never die. But if you experience death in sin physically, then you'll experience eternal death. So what he's saying to us is that he came to give us the right, the life, and the ability to not die in our sins, and that we could forever live. That's what he's saying. They shall never dies. Don't forget, there's a physical death and there is a spiritual death. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. If you are in sin right now, you are spiritually separated from God. You're considered spiritually dead. That's why you need to confess your fault if you're a member of the church. You haven't been coming to worship. You need to restore. You need to come home and ask God to forgive you. You need to get back in fellowship with him. Confess your fault. Ask God to forgive you. That's what we are to do as Christians. If you're not a Christian, you need to believe. You need to believe that God's Son died for you. You need to believe that God's Son suffered for you. You need to believe they whipped him. You need to believe they hung him on an old rugged cross. That he was in pain and in shame. And he did all of that so you didn't have to die spiritually. That you could live forever. That's why he said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So what I got to do if I believe in him, Brother Brooks? You got to hear the gospel story. That story I just told, how he died for your sins according to the scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. You got to believe that, number two, with all of your heart. You got to believe he died for your sins according to the scripture. You got to believe he shed his blood that will wash away your sins. Amen. Revelation 1, 5. You got to believe that. You got to repent. He said in Luke 13, 3, if you don't change, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. When you repent, you make a decision like many of us have made. Man, I'm going to get baptized. I can't take no chance dying like this. Oh, yeah. Now, how many of y'all got baptized in here? Say amen, you got baptized for. So you made a decision. Right before you got baptized, you made a decision that I'm going to get baptized. That's called repentance. You mean you ain't going to continue to live like you were living. Number four, you got to confess like Mary did. You got to say before this audience, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Matthew 10, 32, Jesus said, I tell you nay. Jesus said, he whosoever confess me before men, I confess before my Father. Whoever deny me, I'm going to deny them. That's verse 33. And then you got to be baptized. Why? Because Jesus commanded it. Mark 16, 15 and 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every creature, he that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from what? Dying in your sin. Saved from the second death, which will be eternal separation for God forever. But one who's washed in their sins shall live and never die. Ain't that good? I like that. I don't know about y'all, but I want to be in that number right there. I want to be in that group that will never die. I want to see God's face in peace. I want to be able to hear them angels singing, amen. I want to see the street that's gold and the walls of jasper. How many of y'all want to go to that place? Amen. It's a real place. It's a real place. Just real as hell is. Hell is real too. Don't you think heaven is real and heaven hell is not? Hell is real. So what are you saying, brother? I'm talking to the members of the church. You need to ask for prayer. Don't be ashamed to ask for prayer. Come down and ask God to forgive you. You don't need to know what you've done. We don't care about that. We just know you need prayer. You need to confess your fault. And then those who are not members of the Church of Christ, I have talked to you. I'm telling you this. Be clear. The Church of Christ is the only church in the Bible. You are not in it. You're not going to die in the Lord. You say, I don't like that. You got to take that up with God. He said, he the one said one body, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I didn't say that. I'm just telling you that he's right or he's wrong. And you don't want to gamble and wait after death and say, Brother Brooks was right that day. It's too late then. Don't gamble with this thing. Get it right. Stay with the Lord. So I'm talking to the members who are not members. Don't take the visitor who don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You're in deep trouble. Deep trouble. You need to obey God. Be washed in the blood, and then the Lord will add you to the Church of Christ. Men don't have no role to put you on their role. God adds you to the church. Church belongs to Christ. He's the head of the church. And I'm telling you, there's only one. It's the Church of Christ. Romans 16, 16. It tells us, salute one another, the Holy Kid, and the churches of Christ salute you. Now, you say, well, brother, what am I going to do? Because the reason we got hope, y'all, is because he lives. It's because he got up from the grave himself. Because he lived, we can face tomorrow. And I want to say to you, if you want to come today, you come now. We're getting ready to sing the song of encouragement. We want you to come. We want those who are not members of the church. We want to baptize you. We got the clothes ready. We got the water. You ready to obey God, you come. Those who are members of the Lord's church, you come for a confession or prayer request. We ask you to come as together we stand and sing.